On Christmas night, the storm eased, and it was over by the morning of December 26th. On the slope leading down into the canyon, Sarah and Jay and the others peered out from under their blankets and found themselves surrounded by deep drifts of snow. Without the hatchet they had lost during the storm, they were unable to cut wood or start a fire, so they mostly stayed in their makeshift blanket tent, conserving their body heat and their energy during the morning. But in the afternoon, they crawled stiffly and painfully out of their shelter. They spent much of the remainder of the day hunting for the hatchet, their snowshoes, and their packs, all of which had disappeared under the snow. As they tried to gather wood without the hatchet, someone broke a dried pine branch from a tree, and a mouse ran out and scurried away. They all chased it, shouting and thrashing through the snow in pursuit of it. 13-year-old Lemuel Murphy, who was growing increasingly demented, seized the mouse, thrust it into his mouth, and ate it alive. The three bodies lying nearby were rigid and half covered by snow. The living avoided them. They already knew what they were going to do, but they were not yet ready to do it. To some extent, they had become apathetic. The worst hunger pangs had begun to pass after 36 hours without food, and while they were in many ways physically miserable, hunger was not always the most pressing component. Their brains had stopped screaming out for glucose, partly because their bodies had made some critical adjustments. Their livers had begun to transform fatty acids into chemical compounds called ketone bodies. The use of ketone bodies carried a price, though. It was gradually acidifying their blood, leading them toward a dangerous condition called ketoacidosis. And their breath began to smell like something they had never known. Fingernail polish. Late in the day, they crawled back under the blankets, still unfed except for the mule. The pittance of nourishment provided by the mouse seemed to stimulate the boy's madness and renew his hunger pains. As night fell, he howled and raved and grabbed at people's arms, biting them, crying out, "Give me my bone!" Finally, they all forced him to the center of the circle with their feet, trying to keep him from slipping out under the perimeter. Under the blankets, Lemuel Murphy finally quieted down. His sister, sobbing, held his head in her lap until at about 2 a.m. he ceased breathing. Then they rolled his body out into the moonlit snow and closed the circle tighter.